Welcome to our second edition of St. Patrick's Podcast at the St. Patrick's Centre, Downpatrick. I'm Martina Purdy.
And I'm Elaine Kelly, and we want to wish you
a happy St. Patrick's Day from the cradle of Christianity.
And today we have a very special guest, a man named after St. Patrick himself, with many connections to Ireland's patron saint.
Patrick Dexter is a Dublin-born musician who has made headlines around the world during lockdown, playing and recording his cello music from his garden in the west of Ireland.
And Patrick plays everything from U2 to traditional Irish music, and today he's helping us to rock the cradle of Christianity.
Patrick, you're very welcome to the program. Tell us, what inspired you to make music in Mayo?
Well, hello to you both and everybody listening. Thank you so much for inviting me to come to speak to you today. I'm delighted. St. Patrick, as you can imagine, is a character from my life and my life story that has featured very prominently. To begin, yes, what began me playing music? Well, I began as a child, very young, and relevant perhaps to what we're talking about today, it began in St. Patrick's Cathedral, which is where my father was the organist and conductor for many years, a quarter century he was there. And as a young child, I went into the choir school there in Dublin, in St. Patrick's Cathedral. And we would, every morning, 8 a.m., have choir practice, and then we would sing matins, and then later on, evensong. And of course, on the Sunday, we would have two services and practices in the evening as well. So it was a childhood chock-a-block filled with music. And of course, my dad being a musician, there was always music at home as well.
Patrick, I see that you became a musician in a family of seven. Would you like to tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So I have three brothers and three sisters, and we grew up, all seven of us, playing music. As I said, my dad was a musician in the cathedral, and he taught us all to sing, first of all, and then had us all learn instruments. My two older sisters played the violin, and I was number three, the oldest boy, and I was given a cello. And yeah, I have taken it on ever since. And each one of my family members, they're all fantastic musicians. Now, many of them do different types of jobs, but all of us, we always play music, and especially around Christmas time. Unfortunately, this year wasn't the case, but we always get out our instruments and play together. So it was a noisy household with seven children and lots of music. The neighbors weren't always happy, but we were always delighted.
Well, it's just such a beautiful, it's a beautiful story, Patrick. And you still play with your father virtually from the west of Ireland. Tell us about that.
I do, yes. So as you can imagine, we can't play easily together, and for the last year, but he has always been my piano player, my accompanist, when I started off young as a singer and now as a cellist. And we do still get to play together because of the wonders of technology, you know, the same thing that allows me to speak to you right now from my home in the west of Ireland allows me to play with my father. He records himself playing the piano, and he sends me these recordings, and I play along to them with my cello. Often I take the recordings outside into my garden, and I play the cello along to my father out in the beautiful nature we have here in County Mayo. And though we're not beside each other, it definitely feels that we're close when we do that.
Patrick, you know, I have to say, one of the most fascinating things that I've read about you is the fact that you live in the shadow of Kirkpatrick in County Mayo at Clew Bay. And I have to just tell you, that blows me away. I've been up to Kirkpatrick a few times. Martina and I have climbed it twice, but I have to say, you're a lucky man.
Blessed, he's blessed.
I do indeed. Yeah, I'm looking, as I speak to you now, I'm looking at Kirkpatrick, and it is a mountain, a piece of the landscape that has followed me all my life. I have always thought of it. I feel it has great importance for Irish people. I believe everything about it, what it means, its history, as well as its beautiful shape and form, is something that is so important to all Irish people, but in particularly to me, because I didn't grow up here in County Mayo, but my grandfather's cottage was here, and we spent all our summers. As you can imagine, with seven children, we could never, the thought of going abroad was just never going to happen. So we took all our holidays here in County Mayo, and where my grandfather's cottage is along the Tower Forig, the St. Patrick's Way, which is a pilgrim route up to Kirkpatrick, which I know you guys know well. And as you can see from my grandfather's cottage where we spent the summers, that beautiful, iconic, conical picture of the Croagh-Patrick, which if you know the bay well, you'll know is not in any way what the mountain looks like. You'll know that if you've climbed it, that iconic picture is this very particular angle. It looks almost something that is been sculpted, been designed. When you look at it from the angle of the pilgrimage route from Ballintubber Abbey, it has this perfect cone shape. That's the image. I mean, it was so ingrained in my mind. And when I would think of my happy summer holidays when I was deep in the middle of winter and not enjoying school when I was growing up, I would think of that shape of Croagh-Patrick and think of my summers in Mayo, and it would always bring me, always uplift me.
Well, that is lovely. You know, we were still sisters and we were on a retreat in Knock, and Elaine said, come on, we'll climb Croagh-Patrick. And I said, okay. But as we drove towards it, I said, I'm not climbing that thing.
It was huge.
It was just, we'd been used to the Belfast Mountain. So, but I have to say, it was an amazing experience. And on a clear day to see Clew Bay, it's like, we just love it, and we hope to come and climb again very soon.
Well, you'd be very welcome. It's I have to say, it is a challenging, as you know, it's a challenging climb, especially towards the end. It does take perseverance. The wonderful thing about it is you're always sharing it with other pilgrims, and you can meet some wonderful people, but it is tough, as you know. So well done for getting up, and I hope you get to come soon, and maybe I can join you and we can walk together sometime up to the top.
That'd be amazing.
And Patrick, I just remember watching some of your tweets when you were playing the cello, and the dog seems to like the cello.
Oh, indeed. Yes. My dog, Nisha, who's here beside me, she is a big fan of music, in particular when it happens outdoors. Well, she has a limited patience for it. If after a certain amount of time, she would like to go for a walk, definitely. I shouldn't say that word because she'll get very excited. But if it's for a short period of time, yeah, she will.
Like
she's going for the door now, excited. But she loves to come out and listen. And you know, if she's in the house, she'll rush straight out if there's music happening outside, because it's what she loves to do. Lays around in the summer, especially when it's warm. And sit by me while I play some music.
Well, you know, I think there's something about the backdrop, because you were playing against such extraordinary beauty. And when St. Patrick, as you know, was enslaved in Ireland, what brought him close to God was, he said that the beauty of the countryside, he knew, was of the Most High God. And there is something spiritual about, I think, this backdrop as well, that brings something to your music.
And we'll hear that music now.
Patrick, that was amazing. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so I think what St. Patrick was getting from it is something that anyone who spent time, and particularly in the coastline of Ireland, will be aware of, is that the beauty is particular. I mean, the word beautiful doesn't quite sum it up, because there's a harshness to it. There's a very sort of brute force reality of nature there, as well as very picturesque and beautiful. So, you know, for example, here in Clew Bay, you have the tranquility of the bay and the hundreds of small islands which you can look down for, and the water is very peaceful. But then you look just to the side and you have that open harshness of the wild Atlantic beating against the shores and the relentless wind. So it's this mixture in the beauty, which I feel is very reflective of what often happens in our inner life. I often think that nature when it reflects what's happening inside us, there's a powerful connection that goes in many ways beyond words, you know, and inside ourselves, we can find peace, we can find tranquility, but also there is harshness and pain sometimes and various mm-hmm. things, and these things mixed together. And I feel in the Irish landscape, these things are mixed. Mixed up definitely, and we see them both in all this mountains and sea around us.
So Patrick, just to pick up that reflection, you referred to the challenges and struggles and times we have in our life that can be inside us and can be reflected as well in the landscape. Can you say what place faith has in your own life?
So for me, it's been a story of faith in my life has taken many turns, and I think for me, certainly living where I'm living now, where I've been here for 6 years, and it was for me a decision that was made. It wasn't, I didn't, as I say, grow up here, though I spent my summers here. So I decided to live at a time in my life in my 20s when most of my peers and friends were moving to, say, cities for opportunities and work, or moving to places where there was sort of more going on in terms of an urban environment. I made the decision, along with my wife now, my partner at the time, we made the decision to live somewhere that was quiet, beautiful with nature. And for me, that was a spiritual act. That was something that didn't just because happen to be the case. It was something we decided we want to have a closer connection to nature and to our spirituality. And that was something that I felt could be done in a quieter place such as this. So for me, my relationship with nature, as well as my relationship with the world around me and connecting that to my inner self, is a big part of my, what I would call my spirituality or my faith. And I feel that being connected with that, so connected to both your inner self and the natural world around you, is for me a spiritual act. And I think that engaging with that is something that maybe is often at odds to our what's encouraged to be our lifestyle in the modern times. But we only have to look back at many writers throughout history. St. Patrick is one, of course, but many people that have written about this same thing, this connection, and how important it is to nurse it. And yeah, for me, that is part of the story of my faith. I could go into it at length as to how I arrived at these conclusions, but for now I'll just say that for me, spirituality is feeling a connection from your inner self to the outer world. And this is something that for me, I have found here on the west coast of Ireland.
Yeah, we are big fans of Bishop Robert Barron, who is a very famous writer and broadcaster in the United States. And he says that, you know, to find God, you go through beauty, and beauty leads to goodness, and goodness leads you to truth. Is that something you would agree with?
That is interesting, yeah, because certainly beauty was the pathway, was the gateway to this, what I feel is a more spiritually engaged life that I would have here in this quieter part of the island of Ireland. Beauty being the gateway because it was... after spending time, I spent years working abroad as a teacher after I finished university. And myself and my partner, we traveled and we lived in Asia. And we were living in large cities in Asia, particularly spent a lot of time in Vietnam. And it was a wonderful experience. But it was we saw many beautiful things there traveling. I'm really grateful, especially now, for the experiences. We can't travel and I don't intend to travel now. Having that experience of traveling and seeing so many beautiful things, but the image of Ireland and its beauty was etched so deeply in my brain. It was the beauty of it first and foremost, which always made us think we would like to move back there, and we would like to especially move to the west of Ireland in particular. And it was through thinking about, well, why am I valuing this beauty so much? Why is it so important? It was that sort of train of thought which led on to, well, that's something that I think is important in life. And why? Well, what accompanies beauty is often tranquility, humility. There's a sort of a line of thought that you go from beauty. And for me, it was something that I knew was there and was sort of in the clouds. You know, what is this feeling that I feel about beauty that's so important, especially in the natural landscape? And it was something that I wanted to explore. And I felt by being here in this very beautiful landscape, I had the space, the time, and the inspiration to explore it. And indeed, it did lead me to a path towards, I think, finding out what happiness was, finding out what I believed was truly good in life and good in other people. And yeah, I feel I'm still on that path, but I think it, the first step did come with beauty.
Yes, you know, I think you're quoting very much St. Augustine. You know, he said in his Confessions, he came to belief in God in his 30s, and he said, "Late have I loved you, O beauty, so ancient and so new." And also the fact that there is a true spirituality of creation, because that speaks of God. And I think very much, Patrick, if you don't mind me saying, what's moving very much in you is the reality of the beauty of God in our hearts and the beauty of God in nature. And what I want to then go on to ask you, if you don't mind, is, do you feel, having said that, do you feel that Ireland has lost its faith and it has lost its spirituality?
Well, I think if we're to understand faith and spirituality in Augustine's terms, I mean, it's a weird synchronicity you'd bring up Augustine, because he is a figure that has featured strongly in my life. And interesting, it's the same, around the same sort of time period as Patrick as well. I mean, this was a very turbulent time. And one of the big thinkers that to come out of that time, of course, was Augustine. And his, his idea about, he called it original sin, but I like to think of it as relating to mental health and the deep upset and hurt that we can feel within us, that we are, unfortunately, even the happiest person experiences it in life. It is sort of inbuilt into our mortality and our human life. And I feel that the ways to salvation for me, for that dealing with that inner pain and that what he called original sin, is through engagement with the natural world and engagement with each other. And I think in Ireland today, I believe that there has been a difficulty that has set in with people addressing the inner problems they might have or the inner pain we might have, something that has crept in over not just the last decade or so, but hundreds of years of gradually eroding our connections with each other and eroding our connections with the natural land. And you can see this, concrete examples of it are just the attitude we have towards, sort of disposable nature we have towards the natural world around us, and Ireland having the worst track record in the world, I think, per capita, for how we treat the natural world. And that sort of disconnect between us and the natural world, allowing us to fester the feelings of pain, the feelings of hurt, and the disconnections with our own spirit. These two things running alongside, I would think Ireland has gotten into a bad shape with, and I believe there really needs to be some sort of spiritual awakening to come, particularly in terms of our views of how we connect, again, our inner selves to the natural world, that needs to come around.
Yeah, I think for myself, one of the problems, I think, is it goes then to Aquinas, you know, that our hearts are made for God. Augustine told us that, but Aquinas said that we fill our hearts with the wrong things. You know, we try to fill it with power and money and wealth and pleasure, and those things are fleeting. And I think, for me, I think that the Celtic tiger has lost some of its spirituality from just the pure, you know, from wealth and going from poverty to wealth. I think Ireland is kind of like nouveau riche, trying to come to terms with that. And at some point it will come to a new maturity and it will return to its, hopefully, it's the roots of the faith that Patrick sowed. And, you know, Patrick is an amazing figure and so much more interesting than the one that's caricatured on St. Patrick's Day. And yet he celebrated, which is great. And you're going to be part of the celebrations today, actually, because it's St. Patrick's Day today. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I'm delighted to be part of the global celebration of Ireland that is St. Patrick's Day. It's such an important event for Irish people around the world and for our island. And we have this opportunity to present ourselves to the world and everybody be thinking of Ireland on that day. So yes, I've been invited by a number of embassies to play as part of their St. Patrick's Day celebrations. I'm excited. A few of them include in Brazil. I'll be there playing. And also, this is all virtually, of course. I won't be flying off to Brazil.
But spiritually.
Yes, so I will be there. I will be there in the heart. And of course, one of the biggest ones for me is to be part of the Irish Embassy in the USA's celebration for St. Patrick's Day. And they've put together a very special program, which I feel so privileged to have been invited to be part of. And that will include some wonderful Irish musicians, as well as a huge number of Irish-American culture and musicians there as well. And we will have the Taoiseach will be speaking as part of that as well. And, you know, some very important people in America as well. So what that will involve is, of course, it's virtual. So I have filmed myself playing music here at my home, as I often love to do and share with the world. And they are going to, the ambassador in the embassy over in Washington is going to present my playing to the people there. And it's a wonderful privilege, not only to bring myself, but also this beautiful landscape of County Mayo, to bring it to the world stage in that way is such a privilege.
And as a result of playing for the American embassy, you'll also be playing for Joe Biden, the new American president, United States president. I've just fluffed that. We'll have to edit that. United States president.
We don't have time to edit. You'll just have to live with it.
You'll have to live with it for sure. I have no credibility anyway, so it doesn't matter. So you must be excited. You're playing for Joe Biden and a Mayo man yourself, like yourself.
Yeah. So indeed. So Joe Biden has this connection to County Mayo. Not far from here in where I am in North Mayo, his family would have embarked across the Atlantic to settle over in America. So it's a unique opportunity. It's absolutely incredible for this small county, or it's a large county, but a small number, small populated county here in the west coast of Ireland, to have this connection to the White House is quite amazing. And yeah, I'm delighted to be part of that presentation. And whereas we will have to see today whether he will be able to join us, because I know he's a busy man, but it's hoped. But certainly he will be engaging with the embassy and the St. Patrick's Day celebrations. And yep, I mean, for someone of that esteem to hear my music is just, I mean, it's a lifelong dream, really, isn't it? I mean, I always think if I could go back to my child self, you know, as a choir boy there in St. Patrick's Cathedral, and say to him, your music is going to be performed for the President of America, I just would never have believed it. So it's a wonderful experience.
Wow, yeah, you're on an amazing journey. But if I was a betting woman, I would put money on Joe Biden listening and coming to this virtual celebration. He seems to be the most Irish of all the Irish-American presidents. And the one thing about St. Patrick's Day in Washington, I've been so many times with our rowing politicians, they all seem to put their differences aside, even if it was just for a few hours, to celebrate St. Patrick. And I suppose I want to ask you is, what will you play? What are you planning to play today?
So I've picked out, it's a difficult, it was a difficult decision to make, you know, such an important event and such a big moment for me, really, personally and musically. It was a difficult decision, but I'm happy with what I have chosen. And it's something that I chose, something that was very personal to me and very dear to me, and also dear to this part of Ireland. It's a piece by the wonderful Irish composer Turlough O'Carolan, who was born 350 years ago, not far from here where I live, the next county over, in County Roscommon. And he grew up in the 1600s, and his music is some of the most beautiful to come from this island. And it really took hold of, if we can cast our mind back to a few hundred years ago, it took hold of the imagination of not just Ireland, but Irish people around the world. Because, of course, at that time, Irish people were beginning to really spread across the world, especially across the Atlantic. And they brought with them, many of them, the music of Turlough O'Carolan. It was the most played, the most listened to, the most enjoyed music of the time. But anyway, he was a harper, as many of the great musicians were at that time. And he'd lost his sight at a young age. There was a terrible pandemic which was sweeping Europe at the time, much like we have today. And then it was smallpox, and smallpox really ravaged Ireland at that time and left him and many other people blind. And as a blind man, often the tradition of taking up the harp and being a musician was a pathway for people. And this is what he did, and with absolutely amazing results. He has some of the really most beautiful harp music. So one of his pieces I'm going to play for the St. Patrick's Day celebrations that I've recorded for the embassy in America is called Bridget Cruise. It's a slow Irish air of great beauty. And it was written for Bridget, who was the childhood love of, and for many people think the love of the life of Turlough O'Carolan. And he knew her before he lost his sight. And it's believed he, though he had a life doing many other things and married elsewhere, he never fell out of love with this, his love, Bridget, though they couldn't be together because of various family reasons and, you know, the traditions of the time with arranged marriages. But he always loved her. And so it's a song for her that I'm going to play. It's my own arrangement of it for cello. Of course, it was written for harp. And I think it just captures something about the beauty of the West of Ireland that will hopefully sow a seed of a love for it too with all the people around the world that will listen to it.
I look forward to hearing that. Patrick, I think we're going to have the privilege of you playing out this programme with your music. So just can I ask you this? Why do you think that your music has resonated now with people? When you think about it, you have well over 35,000 followers on Twitter, mm-hmm. and you've become an international sensation since you've been interviewed on CNN. And tell us, why do you think that that's happening at this time now?
It's a great question, and one that I am trying to come to terms with at the moment, because especially recently the exposure around the world, you know, it's tens of millions now of people who have watched my videos around the world. And it's just a number that I couldn't have ever fathomed before. But when I think about it, there's something that is connecting people beyond just Ireland. Even though Irish culture and music is a big part of what I do, there seems to be a part of the imagination of something that Ireland represents to people around the world that people are engaging with. So the music that I play is instrumental, first and foremost. So I play the cello mostly. And something about something not having words, not being restricted to a certain language or certain colloquialisms or a certain time even in history. There's something about the infinite feeling about something that's just pure music. I mean, music for me, for many people also, is something that transcends, I think, the material and the spiritual. You know, it's beyond language. It is, mm-hmm. I know you can look at it scientifically and it's air and things, but pressure and physics, but it stirs something within you emotionally without a word being spoken. And there's something really incredible about that, something spiritual about that. And I feel that people around the world, though we have a lot of music on our doorsteps every day, there seems to be something about the way that I play, which is completely live. I just play with my cello outside in this landscape here in the wild, windy west of Ireland, that people seem to connect with their hearts in a way. And yes, it's something I'll be pondering over for a while. What is the reason for it exactly? But I think it has something to do with that powerful nature of music too. Even in very tumultuous times as we're living through now, it can really cut through and get straight to people's hearts.
Yeah, I remember one of the most profound moments during the first lockdown for me, which I will never forget, was listening to Andrea Bocelli sing in the square in Milan. You know, and it just the silence and all around him, the stillness, and yet he was singing a cappella, and it was powerful.
Yes, interesting you'd bring him up. He's a big influence on me as a cello player. So though he's a singer, for me as an instrumentalist, it is the human voice and singers that are the biggest influence on my playing and how I think about my music. I always think of my instruments as a voice, you know, and what better voice to be trying to imitate than Bocelli. But yeah, there's something really powerful about that image, you know, that this music is still connecting people despite the utter feeling of disconnection. We just are so consumed by every day with this horrible situation we've had this past year. Music has and always has been the great unifier of people, of different languages, of different cultures, of different experiences. Music can bring us together.
Yeah, I think, Patrick, you've struck a chord, because in the difficulty of the pandemic, everybody's had to slow down, and in the silence we can hear your music more, we can hear the beauty of it, and we can hear it in our hearts, and it speaks to our hearts, and it goes deeper than what's on the outside. So I think you've really stirred up people, their thoughts and their emotions, to think maybe about what is maybe more important in life, and maybe to address the soul and the heart, which maybe we haven't been doing as much because of the busyness of the world, especially in Ireland. There's been a lot of rapid transformation and secularization, and I think you've probably spoken to people's hearts.
Well, I'm delighted you think that. It certainly has always been my goal with music. You know, if there is a reason for me making music, or a reason why I think music is so important, is because I feel it does speak directly to the very center of your heart. And by playing music, you have the privilege of connecting something that you're doing, making this sound, with someone else's heart and stirring feeling with them. And for me, that's so much more important in music than how technical it is or how exuberant it is in some other level. I mean, the big question is, did it reach into someone's heart? Even if it was one person or if it was 10 million people, it's that act that makes music so important for me, and makes for me it a great privilege for me to be making music.
Well, it's such a privilege to listen. And I suppose for you, lockdown has brought a lot of gifts. I think it's brought a lot of gifts that people maybe only appreciate afterwards. But it has changed your life in a very positive way, I think.
It is, certainly. So if anyone was to ask me, you know, so how has this year been? And, you know, what effects? And they could have various things in their mind, but there is one overriding thing which just has completely made this last year, it's been everything for me this last year, and that is the birth of my first child, my baby daughter. And she was born, thank you very much. Yeah, so, you know, a lot has happened in this past year, and of course for many people it really has been a difficult year, and I've experienced that difficulty, but I have this like shining light in the center of it. She was born in the middle of lockdown, and it just sort of blinds all the darkness that was in this year, because it was just such a wonderful thing to see her born, and she is happy and healthy, which is wonderful. And now to see her develop and grow, she's about to turn 8 months old, and it's just been an incredible journey. And so in for me, that was, you know, when I look back as an old man and people ask what was it like to live through that lockdown, to live through that year, I can just say, you know, all I can think of is this miracle, which was my daughter's birth.
Well, yeah, again, congratulations, Patrick. And I think you mentioned to us at the beginning of the program off air that she will be 8 months old on the 17th.
Which is today.
Today. So just before we go, Patrick, we're going to go shortly. We just want to ask you just a couple of more questions. And one of our big questions is, what would you banish? Like St. Patrick, who banished the snakes from Ireland, what would you banish from Ireland?
Yeah, so interesting question. Well, you know, it's hard at the moment. And I hope I'm not the only guest who says this, but the thought of ridding Ireland of coronavirus is just too tempting not to go for, because really the idea now after a year, I miss my family so dearly, you know, seeing them. And though it's wonderful we can connect digitally, the idea of being in a room with all my family and playing music together, especially my sisters have, both my two of my sisters have had children, you know, in this time as well. And I haven't met in any way. And it just, you know, I'm, as you said at the beginning, I am from a big family, and this is something that I've realized the importance of, in particular, both in having my own family and just that idea of being disconnected in some way from my family makes me realize how important it is. And if I could rid the island of coronavirus and we could all be together tomorrow, I just, you know, it would just feel so good. I could not pick that as the thing to rid the island from.
Well, we pray that your wish comes true, but maybe you'd like to tell us where you could go, or you would go, if you had a chance to go into St. Patrick's.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, so it was a very interesting time, wasn't it? You know, we're talking about a kind of 4th, 5th century AD. So we already touched on Augustine. I think that would be somebody who I would love to have spoken with, you know, both his brilliance and his dark sides as well. I feel there'd be so much to learn. And I think that whole area of North Africa at that time, though turbulent, there was just such wonderful minds and ideas going around there. We had, you know, the remnants of all the Hellenic period texts, which were, you know, quickly disappearing, really, as they were kind of hastily being translated, and many people hoping that they could keep them. And, you know, many of which inspired the Renaissance later, and so much thinking for Europe in later millennia. But yeah, just so many ideas from around there. I think I would have to pick somewhere, you know, Algeria, somewhere in North Africa, where there was these cultural mixes happening, which though turbulent, just so many ideas and so much to learn, and so much ideas that maybe have, and texts that we've lost now, that I would love to get my hands on from around there. So I'd have to pick my travel itinerary would definitely be going around North Africa, I think.
Well, Patrick, we can't accommodate that, but you are very welcome anytime you want to come as our guest on St. Patrick's Way. We have a 28-kilometer Camino here. You could do 6 miles, you could do 11, and we have a beautiful coastal walk right up the coast, right up to St. Patrick's Well towards our glass. It's just beautiful. But I'm sure you're very busy with the baby and family, but
well, wonderful.
Welcome anytime.
I love
you want.
Walking is one of my favorite things, one of the reasons that makes me love living in rural Ireland. So I would love to join you sometime. And I wonder how the path is for, I have a pretty off-road buggy which does the hiking trails here. Do you think that would be okay to bring the baby?
There'd be no problem.
No problem.
Wonderful.
Very
okay.
Welcome. It's probably about the same size as Elaine.
Yeah, probably bigger.
So Patrick, thank you very much. You have very kindly agreed to play us out of the program. And so we will let you do that as soon as I've thanked everyone from our producers, Tim Campbell and Damien McKee.
And myself. And so I just want to wish everybody on behalf of the team, happy St. Patrick's Day and God bless you all. And please remember to check out our new St. Patrick's show online today on all our adventure experiences on our website, www.stpatrickscenter.com.
God bless you and thank you.
Thank you.